Chapter 40. We went through the wormhole. Just an ordinary Elder wormhole, and the usual series of events occurred. The external sensors blanked out while they reset from the space-time distortion. The energy shield generators surged back to full power after being shut down for the transition, and Skippy squealed. Like, he let out a high-pitched yelp. The kind you hear from a child who reached into tall grass for a ball they dropped and touched a snake instead. That is not a usual occurrence. Skippy? Buddy? Are you okay? A frantic glance at the main display didn't show anything obviously wrong. Skippy? Holy. Oh my. Oh, this is... Wow. What is wrong? It's not... Talk amongst yourselves. I'll be busy for a while. Talk? What is wrong? I repeated. Listen, dum-dum, I'm busy. Go do whatever the hell it is you do and leave me alone. His avatar blinked out. Usually his avatar sort of faded out. Instead, it was simply gone, like he unplugged it. Bilby, I asked, do you know what is going on? Dude, like, nothing. There is nothing special about that wormhole. There is nothing happening, other than, like, the usual, you know? The ship is coasting forward. How is Skippy? The status of the vital ship systems was on the main display. I didn't need Bilby to recite a list for me. He's fine, I guess. But man, he is busy in there. His internal power flow is only visible to me on the surface, but he is drawing a lot of power to do something. Is he in danger? This is what he does when he's, like, thinking real hard about something, you know? There's no danger unless he, like, sprains his brain or something. Keep an eye on him, but don't bother him. That goes for everyone. I raised my voice so the bridge crew knew I was talking to them. XO, pass the word. She was already tapping out a broadcast message on her tablet. Got it. Should we jump away? She looked toward the display when nothing was near us except the wormhole we had just transitioned through. I thought for only a moment before deciding she was right. Anything that had Skippy worried was too dangerous for us filthy monkeys. The display showed the jump drive was 78% recovered from the spatial distortion of passing through the Elder wormhole. That was good enough. Pilot, jump option, Foxtrot. Punch it. After that safety jump, we hung out while the capacitors built up a full charge. There wasn't anything on the schedule. I had to resist the temptation to listen to the good idea fairy and do something stupid, like declare a field day for the crew. Because bots took care of cleaning the ship, including personal quarters and most gear, the notion of the crew scrubbing the decks was foolish. Sims reported some of the crew requested we use the downtime for maneuvers outside the ship. I shot that down. Not knowing what was going on with Skippy, I wanted the ship ready to respond in an instant. Having crew outside in suits or dropships would delay a jump while we recovered them. When the capacitors were at 100%, I was in my office, and there wasn't any reason for me to be on the bridge for a routine jump. Me hanging around would show a lack of faith in the duty officer, who was, I had to check the roster, a Captain Yoshimura of the Japanese Air Force. Anyway, I was at my desk having stowed loose items in preparation for the jump when Bilby called. Hey, General Dude, Skippy wants you to cancel the jump. He says it's important. Before inquiring about Skippy's reasons, I jammed a thumb down on the intercom to the bridge. Yoshimura, this is Bishop, hold the jump. Yes, General? He acknowledged my order with an uplift in his tone that made it a question. How long, sir? The current jump calculations are only good for another 7 minutes. The length of time a particular jump navigation program was valid varied, mostly based on the speed of the ship through normal space. I know we would need to recalculate. The duty officer knew I understood that, and it was good procedure for him to remind me. Don't know yet. Keep the ship at condition yellow. Releasing the intercom button, I automatically looked up at the speaker in the ceiling, though that made no difference when talking with the ship's AI. Bilby, Sometimes I wish you had an avatar, I admitted. It was easier to talk with Skippy when I could see him. Like this? A hologram shimmered to life on my desk. It was not exactly what I expected. He wasn't standing on a surfboard. His feet were clad in beat-up leather sandals. Board shorts in a wild but faded print were held up by a frayed bit of rope around his waist, and his lower legs had a patchwork of tattoos that I later discovered changed by the day. His light brown hair was in shaggy dreadlocks, which really was not a surprise. The rest of his attire was a surprise. He was wearing a navy blue jacket and dress shirt with pearl buttons on the white shirt. The bow tie had a wild print, and his cufflinks were dolphins, or whales, or sea turtles. He changed those often also. There was a crest embroidered in gold on the front of the jacket, and he was wearing a white cap with a dark blue brim. It looked like he had gotten a yacht club outfit from a costume shop. "That is, interesting, Bilby." I tried to keep my tone neutral. He held up his arms and turned around. "Business up top, party on the bottom, dude." "Oh, gotcha." I bit my tongue so I didn't laugh. "This is you, huh? You like it?" "I do if you do. Your avatar should represent you. I'm made of, like, photons and electrons. You know what I mean." "Righteous, dude." He held out a fist and I bumped it. Overall, his avatar was about the same size as Skippy's, except the beer can's hat was taller. "So did Skippy say why he wants the jump canceled?" He wants to talk with you." One avatar disappeared and another came to life. "Hey, Joe." "Hey, are you okay?" "Never better. Why?" "Half of your hat is missing and you only have one foot." "What?" The avatar corrected itself. "I've been a bit distracted. Joe, we need to go through another wormhole on the same network as the one we just came through." "That is..." I closed one eye while I pulled up a mental map of the closest wormholes. It wasn't exact. If I needed precise navigation details, I could look it up on my laptop. "A full day from here. Why can't we go through the wormhole on a different network that is only 3 hours away? Trust me on this, okay? I need to check something. We could have a major, like, huge problem, if I'm right. I don't want to say anything until I'm sure." If he had said, "Trust me, dum-dum," with his usual arrogant, snarky attitude, I would have demanded an explanation. But he simply sounded tired and very worried about whatever it was, and even his avatar looked small and scared. "You got it, Skippy. If you want to talk about it, I'm here, okay? Thanks. Gotta go. Bye." When we went through Skippy's target wormhole, I was on the bridge with condition red set throughout the ship. Bilby thought it wasn't necessary to put the crew on high alert. I did it anyway. It was good practice for the crew. The other end of the wormhole was in Vreen territory we knew little about, and Skippy was worried about something. We even had magnets charged up just in case. While we weren't looking for trouble, we were ready to give it a beatdown if needed. When we emerged on the other side, absolutely nothing happened. No armada of Vreen battleships was waiting for us. We didn't pop out near a neutron star. There was, as far as I could see, nothing to be concerned about. "Skippy?" I prompted him. "Eh? Hey, could we go back through? Checking something. I need another data point." "Reed?" I asked the lead pilot.
"No go, sir," she replied. "We're carrying too much Delta V.
She meant by the time we canceled our forward velocity, turned around and got back to the wormhole's current location, it would have disappeared and opened at the next point on its figure eight pattern.
"The best we can do is..." Her fingers flew over the touchscreen and she bent her head to confer with the pilot. "Just under 2 hours."
"Do it." I felt the deck shudder as the main engines engaged. Typical practice was for us to carry significant speed when going through a wormhole, so our momentum would get us away from any trouble that might be on the other side. Speed got us away from the danger zone of radiation around a wormhole's event horizon and allowed us to clear the possible damping zone enemy ships might have extended. Unfortunately, in the rare cases when we needed to turn completely around, the momentum was a liability. You can argue with physics all you want, but it won't change the harsh facts. An hour and 52 minutes later, we went through that wormhole again in the opposite direction. The ship was at condition red again, with the additional hazard that our velocity relative to the wormhole was barely 1,000 kilometers per hour,
practically crawling along in space combat terms. But the third time in a row, nothing unusual happened. Skippy still didn't speak at all. He did, however, ping me by text on my Z-phone. "Need to talk," the message read. "All right, XO," I unbuckled from my seat. "Join me in my office. We can discuss our next step while Skippy," I waved a hand, "does whatever he's doing." She wasn't fooled. "Sir," she whispered as we walked the short distance to my office. "Keeping secrets from the crew is not—" "Skippy wants to talk in private," I explained, and she nodded. She wasn't happy. She also understood. "We're ready if you are, Skippy," I said, the second the office door was fully closed. "Joe, Jennifer, we have trouble." "Another sentinel is awake?" Sims guessed. "No, not that I know of," Skippy added. "This is much, much worse." "Holy," I stared at Sims. She looked as shocked as I felt. "Worse than Elder killing machines rampaging across the galaxy? What the so much worse. This possibly also explains a lot." "Okay, Skippy, start from the beginning, please." I spoke slowly to get him to chill, and to tell the truth, to calm myself down also. "You saw something in the wormhole?" "It's more like I heard something. Remember that signal I detected in the wormholes on the network where the first sentinel woke up? The first we knew of, I mean?" "Yes. Go on." "At first, really until recently, I thought it most likely that signal was part of the wormhole network's normal operation, part of its recovery from the crash that didn't actually happen." "Right." Clenching my fists under the table, I silently urged him to get to the point. "But we went through other wormholes on networks we crashed, and I didn't detect any such signal. A glitch, I figured." I was wrong. Damn, I could not have been more wrong. I was stupid and arrogant, and now we have lost valuable time and it may already be too late. Ah, crap. Maybe it doesn't matter. There's not much we can do about it now." "It would help if we knew what the problem is. Please?" "Well, I have bad news and news for which there is no word to describe its level of badness. The bad news is I was wrong again. We are indirectly responsible for waking up sentinels." Sims let out a shuddering breath. "Crash in the networks caused them to react?" "No, not directly," he added. "The networks did not crash. Networks have no ability to contact sentinels when they are in distress, and no sentinel is capable of assisting a network in repairing its functioning. But when the networks were in reset mode, looking for the flaw I faked, they basically all connected to each other to sort of compare notes on the problem. At that point, their communication channels were wide open and broadcasting at maximum bandwidth. Somebody used that opportunity to send a signal for sentinels to wake up." "Somebody? Who would be stupid enough to—" "That's the problem. The signal could only have come from an elder AI. One like me,"